And Jesus said to the Canaanite woman, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. We rejoice today to hear of this miracle account of the casting out of a demon in the ministry of Christ, and we should see it as connected to last week's gospel lesson, where Jesus was successful in not falling prey to the enemy's temptations. And so after his baptism in Jordan River, after the anointing of his ministry, he was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted of the devil, and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And when the tempter came to him, the tempter could not overthrow Jesus, like he had overthrown our first parents at the beginning in the garden. No, the second Adam is victorious over the enemy, and he commands Satan to leave, and Satan has to go. He commands him to get out, and he leaves. So we see the power of Christ at the beginning of his ministry, and this is now an extension of the power of Christ who came to destroy the works of the devil. We see it when he is able to cast out a demon of a woman who's not even there at a distance. And Jesus said, if I with the finger of God cast out demons, it is sure the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. So it's as if he, gets that demon out of there from a distance. You see the power of God in Christ and his authority over the demonic. We see the triumph of Christ and his lordship over all creation. And so, hallelujah, our Redeemer has come. He is demonstrating his power, and he is even doing it in his earthly ministry with a ray of light that goes outside of the children of Israel for whom he came in his earthly ministry. So we see this, the light of Christ is the light that will lighten the Gentiles, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. So that light is shining even at this point in his ministry out beyond the children of Israel to this pagan woman, this Gentile, and she receives a blessing. So we rejoice to hear that. We see Christ accomplishing all things well in his ministry, and we see how he has come to deliver our human race from the power of the enemy, and that is a power that he is still active in today. For those who come to Christ are now inhabited by the Holy Spirit. Their temples of their bodies are now made a temple for the Holy Spirit. It is not a place for the demons to dwell. And the part of the ministry of Christ in our generation is a deliverance ministry, where people come out of darkness into the light of Christ, out of the influence of the demonic into a place where they are influenced by the Holy Spirit. And so we see that still in our day, the power of Christ at work in our generation as he is presently redeeming our human race. We see also in this historical account the blessing of this woman's faith. And that is instructive to us as those who are now walking the path of faith, believing on Christ and following in faith where he will take us. So we follow by faith, not by sight. We believe on Christ and we follow. And we see the Canaanite woman as one who has much to teach us about the life of faith. You see her come and she cries out to Christ with a plea. And she's not even praying for herself. She's praying for her daughter, who is grievously vexed with the devil. O Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. But her petition is wrapped up with her own petition. Her intercession for her daughter is wrapped up with her own petition as mother. So she feels the weight of the one for whom she prays. And that is in the nature of an intercessor. They come to Christ with a burden of the one for whom they pray. And she is met with a wall of silence. She makes her petition known, and Jesus does not answer her a word. Now, if she was small in faith, that'd be it. She may have heard good things about this Jesus, and there's a good report going out even into the pagan countries about who this Jesus is. She's come to know that he is has the messianic title of Son of David. She's heard great things. Well, she could leave now affronted that this supposedly great healer won't even talk to her. And that would be it. She could leave. And some people do they not approach the faith that way? They don't get what they want right away, so they're like, well, I'm out of here. It doesn't work. I remember somebody telling me that their son did a very scientific experiment when he was 16 in high school. And he made petition prayers for 20 days that God would do something. God didn't do it, so he said, well, God must not exist. That's not the way of faith. There is faith believes, even though the answer may not come according to its own timetable, it believes. And we see her press on. That is the greatness of her faith. That's why she's an example to us. She doesn't quit. She presses on. And so she draws closer and makes her petition known. And the disciples get involved. They're like, Lord, send her away. She's bothering us. You know, she's troubling us. They want to, it's like paying somebody that has their hand out some go-away money. You know, you're bugging me. I'll give you $5, he'll go away. Like the Italian violinist at the table. I don't know if you're... So, they just want him to give her what she wants so she'll leave. And Jesus does say back to them that he has come for the children of Israel. His ministry is for the children of Israel. And that does not deter her. In fact, we see now a very important development of her faith in this moment. Commentators will say that Jesus is drawing out her faith. He knows how big it is, so he wants to demonstrate it and further, I guess you would say, develop it in her own life and for the benefit of the disciples, and for our benefit in the 21st century to see how this works. So he even says that to her now, or we see the hinge moment where this woman presses on even further and comes and worships him. Pay attention to that. She worships him now. Very different than just being a petitioner. As a petitioner, she comes to make her petitions known. She's interceding for her daughter. Please deliver her from, she's grievously vexed with the devil. And she has her request. But now, even though the Lord has answered with silence, and even though he said to the disciples, I'm not going to send her away, my ministry is to the children of Israel. She still comes and she worships him. And this shows a heart attitude of humility and a recognition of his lordship as the one who is divine. It's a very different posture and one that we may need to learn. Maybe we've been making our own petitions for years and years, but we've been asking God to bless our own plans. Like we have our own way that we think our life needs to be in the life of others, and we're pretty sure about our plans, and we've got them all set. And so we're 50 miles down the road going, oh yeah, and God, would you please bless this trip? You know, as if he's the afterthought in the whole thing. But instead, this shows a humility and a recognition of the one who is God. And in that humility, he shows the excellence of that humility by saying that it is not meet to cast the bread to dogs. Now, this would have been a pejorative in that time. Some try and soften it by saying that it's a diminutive, that he's just saying it's not meet to give bread to the puppies. But however it is something that she, in her place of humility, as she has already in her heart decided to worship him, not just see him as a God like a magic genie that will give her what she wants when she wants, but instead to allow him to be God, as she comes into that place of humility, then she's able to accept what he says, like a very good improv artist, you know, yes and. She hears it that, okay, not even the dogs can eat, you know, it's not good it's not right to take the bread of the children and cast it to dogs. And in her place of humility, as one who already sees herself low to the ground, as if looking up to see the bread on the table, she can say, yes, but even the dogs can eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Are these not words for the ages? This woman is so excellent in her humility, so beautiful in her faith. And it's not just me saying that. The Lord gives her that blessing. He's the one that says, "Oh woman, great is thy faith." He never said that to the apostles. Peter never got that word from Jesus. Jesus never said to Peter, "Oh Peter, great is thy faith." He said to the disciples, "Oh ye of little faith." James and John never got that kind of affirmation. There are only two recorded in the Gospels who received that blessing from Jesus, that divine affirmation of great is thy faith. It's this woman, the pagan woman, the Canaanite, and also the centurion. You remember the centurion who was commander of 100 men. His servant was homesick. He too, an intercessor. He also knew where to come for help. He also could recognize the lordship of Christ when he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. Like, I have no claim on you, and it would defile you even to come into my house. Speak through me, and my servant shall be healed." You see that saying? And Jesus said, "I have not seen so great faith, no, not even in Israel." It was two pagans who received that blessing and recognition of their great faith. But great, why? Because it proceeds from a humility that allows God to be God and recognizes his lordship. God will do what he will do in his own time, in his own manner. So there's a willingness to submit to that, to come under his lordship, and to recognize the goodness of God even when we don't understand how he is working his purpose out. "God, I trust you. I do not understand you, but I trust you." Words of Mother Basilia Schlink, founder of the Evangelical Sisterhood of Mary. "Father, I do not understand you, but I trust you." There is the faith that believes that God is working his purpose out, that God is a good God, that he will work all things according to his will and purpose, and that good will come for those who believe on him, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so that faith is blessed, and he follows up with the "woman, great is thy faith," with, now in concert with her will, the divine will first, and then the confluence, her will now together, "be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was healed that very same hour. She was delivered from that demon. So we see the nature of faith exemplified for us in this woman's life. And we take note. Let us come on bended knee. Let us allow his will to be done. And let us follow in faith the one who has all blessing in store for us. We also recognize in the prayers of the church today that we will pray this woman's prayer. And it comes most familiarly to us in the prayer of humble access right before communion. Page 82, where we pray, "O Lord, we are not worthy so much as to come unto thy,"
"gather up thy crumbs."
Right. "We are not worthy so much to gather up the crumbs into thy table." Here you see Cranmer, the author of the prayer book, or the compiler of the prayer book, and a prayer that he wrote for the prayer book of 1549, that is a treasure of Anglican piety and worship. You see him take from the scriptures both the Canaanite woman's prayer, that "we are not worthy so much to gather the crumbs under the table," and the centurion's prayer, "Lord, I'm not worthy." Those two come together in this prayer, so we are praying the prayers of these saints in our liturgy, praying the Bible. You see that in our tradition. We are those who take Scripture seriously. We have in our Anglican way the daily office, a way to enter, to be formed by the Holy Scriptures, to read, mark, learn, to inwardly digest the Scriptures, that they might form us, that they might become part of us, and then we pray them. And you see the model for prayer in the prayer book as we pray the scriptures now. We are Christ Bible Church as we gather to this morning, praying the scriptures together. And we take these words of the saints the woman from the Canaanite woman interceding for her daughter, the centurion interceding for his servant, and we pray them now. This becomes formation for our hearts as we pray this prayer. We are not worthy so much as to come, help me out again. We are not worthy so much as to gather the crumbs into thy table. But thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. A recognition of our status as sinners that have no claim on God, except the goodness of God, recognizing his property always to have mercy. And so let us pray that prayer with understanding this morning, with intention this morning. Let us make our petitions known according to God's will, trusting in his providence, in his sovereignty, trusting his good will toward us. And may we be blessed indeed in our prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.